You see people bring up toxic masculinity, and a lot of times people bring it up because they just hate masculinity.
Sitting here telling men to cry more. That is why we have the problems we have in the world.
Learn how to deadlift. Learn how to squat. But that's part about being a man.
The moment a man is held hostage by what his woman thinks, he has lost his masculinity.
But specifically, what toxic masculinity represents is masculinity untethered from moral accountability to other men.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. And now your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. My name is Adam Tyson, and I'm the host of this show as we talk about how to help young men mature in their faith. This is focused on Gen Z. That's what I'm talking about. We want to wake up young men in our culture to know how to work hard, to glorify God, and to walk as spiritual leaders in their lives. And so today we're talking about putting sloth to death. Have you ever struggled with the sin of slothfulness? What we're talking about here is just being plain old lazy, right? We have a lot of people today who struggle with laziness and they struggle with the idea of procrastinating. And I just want to say from the very beginning that this is not a formal clinical term. Being slothful, being lazy, being a procrastinator isn't really a clinical issue, right? There's not anything in the DSM-5 that talks about being lazy. And even if there was something in the DSM-5, we understand that the Diagnostics and Statistics Manual of Psychiatric Disorders doesn't really show any hard science anyway. It's just a soft science of describing of what people do, why they do what they do. And so when we talk about being slothful or we talk about being lazy, we're just noticing that this is becoming a major problem in today's society. In fact, research has found that up to 20% of adults and fully half of college students feel that they struggle with this particular issue. They struggle with being lazy and they struggle with procrastinating, right? It's hard to get that research paper done. It's hard to get all of the work in the syllabus and turn all that in at a proper time. And so sometimes that can really creep into what the Bible refers to as laziness and slothfulness. So last week, we talked about someone who is lazy, someone who's slothful, what those characteristics look like. And we compared that description with that of the beaver. Do you remember we talked about the beaver, how people have long admired the diligent work of the beaver, undaunted by long work hours and frequent quiet crises, the beaver maintains its dam and cares for its family with both purpose and passion. I mean, those little critters know how to work, right? And beavers typically work in the safety of the night and rest during the day, but they will not rest during a storm when their homes and their safety is being threatened. Surprisingly enough, this four-footed furry animal with a strong flat tail and a funny face outworks many human beings in America. So the theme of last week is don't let the beaver outwork you. Is it possible that you've become slothful or lazy in your walk with Christ and it affects your work, it affects your schoolwork, it affects your witness for Christ? You're no longer doing what you're doing for God's glory. You've fallen into this sedentary lifestyle. And is it possible that others have had to pick up the slack where you've been lacking because you've been lazy? So we're talking about, again, putting sloth to death, because I believe that sloth or laziness is one of, if not the biggest areas of sin that plagues Gen Z men today. And so we're going to continue in this three-part series. We're talking about the idea last time of seven characteristics of slothfulness. Today, we're going to look at seven consequences of slothfulness. And then next time, we're going to look at seven cures for slothfulness. So last time, seven characteristics of slothfulness. We talked about how they are, number one, a slothful person is a time waster. They simply do not know how to manage their time, and time gets away from them, and it comes back to bite them. We also talked about, number two, that a slothful person is undependable. Their boss doesn't even want to send them on a mission to do a certain job because they cannot be depended upon to complete the task. Number three, the slothful person is plain old lazy. We've been talking about that a lot. And number four, that they procrastinate. They're lazy and they procrastinate. And lots of proverbs talk about the slothful person that we've been looking at. Number five, the slothful person makes excuses. The slothful person will complain about a lion being out in the street. Therefore, they can't get out of the house in order to get to work. They're just making outlandish excuses of things that aren't even realistic. And then we talked about number six, that a slothful person is neglectful. They let their fence be overgrown with thorns and vines from Proverbs 24, 30 through 31. And then we ended last time with the slothful person is delusional. Proverbs 26, 16 says that a sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. So the sluggard, again, in his own eyes, he thinks he's doing the right thing. He thinks he needs a break, thinks he needs some extra vacation. While there would be seven men, and this is inferring here, wise men who can answer sensibly, and yet the slothful person thinks that they're right. They're going to challenge these other seven wise men. And so this is somewhat delusional for the slothful person. So now that we've reviewed the seven characteristics of slothfulness, let me move us now to this point that we're going to look at today, which is the seven consequences of slothfulness. Seven consequences of slothfulness. So you ready? Number one, the slothful person is someone who's going to suffer shame. First consequence of slothfulness is just shame. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 5. He who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. Now listen, guys, right when you hear that verse, hopefully you're thinking, man, I don't want to bring shame. You know, I want to be known as a good hard worker, not as a shameful person because I'm sleeping when I should be harvesting. I mean, in the Bible times, this is talking about how wheat was a main crop there in Israel. And some of you may know that wheat was sown in the winter, and therefore wheat would be harvested at the beginning of summer. And so the idea here of Proverbs 10:5 is that if you're gathering or harvesting in summer, then you're a prudent son. You're a wise son. You're spending your days in the right way. But if you're sleeping during the harvest, well, that's a bad thing, right? You should be working during the harvest, not sleeping down in the harvest. You know, so it's almost like everybody's out in the field harvesting, and yet some guys are just still sleeping. And that person who is sleeping, that son who is sleeping in Proverbs 10, verse 5, is bringing shame. They're not doing what they ought to be doing. Instead of being respected as a hard worker and someone who's gathering their bushels for the wheat, for the harvest, to make food for the rest of the year, instead, they're just asleep in their bed. Now, some people don't get enough sleep, so they're staying up all hours of the night playing video games or looking at YouTube videos or whatever, and others get too much sleep. When they ought to be up and outdoors working, they're still in the bed being lazy. So what about you, young man? Would you say that you're getting about the right amount of sleep so that you can get up and get out of the field and work? Or are you sleeping during some of the most productive hours of the day? Because if you're being slothful, as Proverbs 10 verse 5 says, then you're bringing shame and you're bringing reproach upon yourself, upon your family, upon your church, and upon the Lord. So that's one of the consequences of a slothful person, is they're going to suffer shame. A second consequence for the slothful person is that they're going to be hungry. They're going to be hungry. Proverbs 13, verse 4 couldn't make it more clear. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. So think about it. The sluggard, that person's going to crave, they're going to want. And in this verse, it's implied here that they're going to want and maybe be suffering from hunger. But while the other person, who is the diligent, they're going to be richly supplied. They're going to have everything that they need. The sluggard, he's going to go away hungry. They crave, but they do not get what they want because they never got up to work, remember, in order to reap a harvest. While the rich person is someone who was diligent. And because they were diligent and because they worked hard, then they're well supplied. Proverbs 19:15 says something very similar. It says, slothfulness cast into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. So there it is again. Slothfulness is going to result in deep sleep, oversleeping, too much sleep when you ought to be out working in the hot of the day. And the idle person in this case will suffer hunger. It's the idle man who will suffer from being hungry. Remember, the diligent man is rich, so he's well supplied. So this would be the person who doesn't have enough money to even pay for their own food. Or maybe even more specifically, they didn't do the harvest, so they don't have any food stored up, which they can eat throughout the year. So a slothful person is someone who's going to experience shame. A slothful person is someone who's going to experience hunger. And then number three, a slothful person is someone who is going to experience poverty. They're going to experience poverty. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4 says, "A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich." Again, slack hand, you're not working, you're lazy, going to lead to poverty, but the hand of the diligent, it will make you rich. Another proverb, Proverb 20, verse 13 says, "Love not sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes, and you will have plenty of bread." And really, the idea behind both of these verses, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 13, is that they teach that being poor is not typically a result of circumstance, but it is the result of the lack of hard work. So we want to talk a little bit more about what sluggishness does to a person by making them live below the poverty line. And we're going to do that in just a minute. We're going to be right back to discuss four other consequences of the sin of slothfulness. So don't go away, and we'll be right back after this break.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Adam Tyson. And if his discussion today about overcoming laziness struck a nerve, well, let me tell you about a resource that can really get to the heart of why we sometimes struggle with motivation. It's Dr. Lou Priolo's book, Pleasing People. And it might seem like an odd recommendation while we're talking about slothfulness, but hear me out for a second. Oftentimes, our laziness is tied to caring too much about what others think and not enough about what God thinks. And this book can help you examine those heart motivations. It's Dr. Lou Priolo's Pleasing People, and it's available right now in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. And speaking of equipping young people for excellence, the Masters University has this incredible new entrepreneurship degree that is doing something really unique. They actually put students in front of real investors. And with a Steadfast scholarship covering 100% of tuition, there is no better place than TMU. You can find out more right now at masters.edu/manhood. And hey, let me tell you something else really exciting. The Fortis Plus app, if you've not downloaded that yet, please do so. It is completely free. I love saying that. It is free. Everything is a subscription these days, but we really wanted to make this content accessible to everyone. You're getting 7 new pieces of content, audio and video, every single day. If you really want to stay plugged in, download Fortis Plus right now to your mobile device. Absolutely free. You can also find it at fortisinstitute.org. And while you're there at fortisinstitute.org, sign up to become a Fortis Insider, because all of that content that I told you we were releasing every day, we will remind you about it and send you an email every single day. You'll also be the first to know about our sales in the Fortis store that we do multiple times per year. You can get that access as a Fortis Insider by signing up right now at fortisinstitute.org. And listen, we're doing all of this because we're living in a brave new world, and that demands a brave new response. You hear me say that all the time. That's why we've brought together all of these new voices to help you navigate these challenging times. But here's the thing, we can't do it alone. We want you to join us in this effort to reach people with the gospel. Would you prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? If you have questions, and I know you do, you can find the answers right now at fortisinstitute.org. All right, well, now let's get back to Dr. Adam Tyson as he continues to talk about slothfulness. This is Way of Manhood. Welcome back to Way of Manhood.
American men really are in crisis. You can look at the number of men committing suicide, the number of men struggling with depression, the number of fatherless homes.
And now back to your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
All right, well, welcome back. We're talking about today 7 consequences of slothfulness. We've talked about how it brings shame, it brings hunger, and we ended right before the break by talking about how the sin of slothfulness leads someone to poverty. Why? Because it's a slack hand that causes poverty. The Bible says, "Love not sleep, lest you come to poverty. So again, what we're getting at is one of the struggles with America today is that so many people live below the poverty line. And what I believe that the Bible teaches is that this is not exactly just a consequence of hard times, but it's more of the consequence of laziness. It's more of the consequence of someone who's not willing to get a job and to work. I mean, even if it's just working minimum wage, I know a lot of guys who pride themselves in trying to get that career job. And in doing so, they refuse to work at Walmart or to work at a fast food restaurant where here, right now in the state of California where I live, you can get paid $20 an hour just to work at a fast food restaurant. That's not too bad. So what we're saying is that the problem with poverty isn't so much a lack of opportunity as it is a lack of initiative. It's the person who's lazy. It's the person who's not willing to work hard. And this also, as we just talk about poverty and being hungry, we're also just looking at homelessness in general. It is an epidemic, really, here in America today. I can't tell you how bad it is in Los Angeles, where people all over under the freeway overpasses and all downtown and various areas, it has become a massive problem in our state. I know this is a big problem. I'm not just trying to say this is just one simple way to fix the homeless problem. In fact, scholars and healthcare workers and homeless advocates agree that there are two major contributing factors that lead to homelessness. The first is poverty, which brings you to the point of a lack of affordable housing because of the lack of adequate income. So I think that can certainly be a problem, but also the second major factor contributing to poverty is what would be psychiatric issues, which would be included with that. Substance abuse, quote unquote, disorders are also often underlying chronic homelessness. Now, I want to talk about that just for a second, because I mentioned earlier in this show that the DSM-5, which is the Diagnostics and Statistics Manual of Psychiatric Disorders, oftentimes blames all kinds of behavioral issues on some type of psychiatric problem. And I think we've already said pretty clearly that laziness and sluggishness and procrastination are not empirical diseases. They're not organic problems. There's no hardcore evidence that shows someone's lazy because they don't have the right gene or they have some type of a chemical imbalance. It's just that they're lazy, right? The main problem might also be here that they have an addiction. And this addiction is how it's referred to in our culture. I prefer to call the addiction enslavement. That's how Romans chapter 6 talks about sin, that you're either a slave to sin or you're a slave to righteousness. And so what I'm talking about is that when you see somebody who's homeless, I'm not saying that every single person that's homeless is lazy. It is possible that they have fallen on hard times. But I'm saying if we're really going to be honest with ourselves, we would have to admit that most of these people are not working hard. And not only are they not working hard, they are potentially enslaved to something like alcohol and something like drugs. And I've witnessed this firsthand as I've been bagged for money off the street like any of you have. I remember when I was a young man, this guy sold me a bag of whatever, man. He sold me a lot of swampland somewhere. And he said, hey, I need some money. I'm hungry. I've got a wife and kids, and I'm not even able to feed them because I lost my job. And then my car was impounded. And he told me this long story. So I gave this guy a $20 bill. And I was feeling pretty good about how I was contributing to the problem of homelessness and hunger in America, only to turn around and watch that guy walk into a liquor store and to come out with a brown paper bag with a bottle in it. Now, what do you think that guy bought? Think he bought some type of his favorite soft drink? Most likely he came out with a bottle of liquor. And that is the problem with so many of the homeless situations in America. People are enslaved to their sin. There's been many times I've stopped to try to help somebody, but I'll offer to stop and buy them food. Sometimes I'll pull my car over when I see a homeless man and I'll say, hey, I'd love to take you to the grocery store to buy you some food. They say, no, that's okay. Or I'll say, hey, let me take you to McDonald's. Let me take you to In-N-Out right here in Southern California. We'll get you a burger and some fries or something. And occasionally they'll go for that. And I always enjoy doing that because then it gives me an opportunity to actually take them in, buy them a meal, sit down with them, and while they're eating, try to find out a little bit more about what they're going through and try to maybe share with them some truth about the gospel. how no matter what's happened in their life and what they're going through, hopefully they can repent and come to Christ. And then as a Christian, I believe that that's the best way out of this. You know, again, sociologists will say that there's no easy, quick fix to this. Sociologists with the, you know, with the problem of housing and homelessness and addictions will say things like, we got to find out a way to re-educate these people so that they can fight the long game, to take the long walk, or come up with a five-year plan. And I think that that's fine. I'm not against those programs. I'm just simply saying that as a society, the real answer isn't going to be changing the outside as much as winning these people to Christ. And that would be my main goal, is to help somebody see that the main problem isn't just a lack of availability for food and shelter, but it's the poverty in their heart, that there's a something going on deeper within. And this leads us to our fourth problem, really. A slothful person has, number four, they have difficulty. They have difficulty. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 19 says that the way of a sluggard is like a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a level highway. So that's a perfect verse, right? If you're a sluggard, everything in life's going to be hard for you, like a hedge of thorns. Everything's going to be difficult. You don't have enough money to pay for your apartment. You don't have enough money to buy a house. You don't have enough money to cover your education. You don't have enough good work ethic to get a good reference, to get a good job. Everything that you do, you're fighting against the grain. And I'm saying that this comes out of a sinful tendency to being lazy. And so then you've been doing this for days, weeks, months, and now years, and it's hard to get a leg up. And on the contrary, the Bible says in that verse, Proverbs 15, 19, the path of the upright is a level highway. So the upright person, the person who loves Christ, the person who works hard, they're going to walk on a level highway. Again, it doesn't mean they won't have trouble, but it means for the most part, they're going to be able to get through life in a way that is pretty even keel. I mean, I like another verse on this same topic. Proverbs 13, 15 says, good sense wins favor, but the way of the treacherous is their ruin. So the way of the transgressor is hard. The treacherous will be led to ruin. But good sense, first of all, means looking to Christ, looking to the Bible, then you win the favor of the Lord. And so you got a choice to make. You can make hard decisions now that are difficult, but reap the good, you know, dividends later, or you can make easy decisions right now, just be lazy, and reap the difficulty later. So that's what we want to challenge people to think about. Make hard decisions now that pay dividends later. And this leads us to number five. A fifth consequence of slothfulness would be slavery. Proverbs 12:24, the hand of the diligent will rule, while the slothful will be put to forced labor. I mean, you may get so lazy again, you get in over your head, you become a slave to the creditor, to your landlord, or to the credit card company, or to the car loan. And so if you're not faithfully working and being diligent, then you will be forced into labor. Number six, the sixth consequence of slothfulness would be death. Proverbs 21:25, the desire of the sluggard kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. So we see it again and again. Eventually, all of this laziness leads to death. Because of the lack of labor and the lack of harvest and the lack of food, the sluggard now starves and dies. They're not able to get good medical care. They're not able to meet the basic demands of life. And so therefore, it leads to death. The seventh final consequence today is the consequence of hell. That's right. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, then he is denied the faith, and he's worse than an unbeliever. So what is this passage saying? It's like, if you can't provide food for yourself, and if you can't provide food for your family, for your household, then you have denied the faith. What else are we supposed to assume except that someone who is denied the faith has never really been born again? The verse says that you are worse than an unbeliever. And so again, if you don't provide for your own, especially your family, then you're denying the faith, and in a sense, you are denying Christ. So where would this person go when they died? They would go to hell. So we want to encourage you. Again, if you're struggling with slothfulness, I'm not saying you're going straight to hell, but I am saying that if it's beginning to dominate your life, you need to confess that sin to God. You need to repent of it. You need to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to enable you to put slothfulness to death. You need to open yourself up to the scripture and to others who will help hold you accountable. And you need to start today, even if it's just taking small steps in the right direction. Let me pray for us as we close. God, I pray for that young man today who's struggling with the sin of slothfulness and sluggishness and laziness. Would you help him to realize where the consequences of these sins lead? And would you help grant him repentance that today he would trust Christ and today he would put into practice his faith and that today he would work hard to the glory of God? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.